We've talked the whole night through.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. Good morning. Good morning. It's great to stay up late. Good morning. Good morning to you.
This is WPTF Radio, Raleigh, North Carolina, and I'm Reese Edwards.
Hello, everybody. Atlantic Coast Conference Tournament basketball is on the air. This is Wally Ausley.
This is Bill Jackson speaking.
Hello, everybody. Welcome now to Sportsline. Gary Dornberg with you.
I'm Tony Rixby, WPTF News.
Hello, this is Charles Kuralt, CBS News, on WPTF in Raleigh.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back to Carolina Newsmakers. I'm Don Curtis.
Hello, friends. This is Bill Friday, WPTF in Raleigh.
I'm Rufus Edmiston on the Weekend Gardener.
Now, here is your moderator, Tom Campbell.
Thanks for watching this week's NC Spin.
Now, here is Dave Kaiser.
Hi-yo, well, that's good.
This is Art Devine.
This is Robert St. John in the NBC Newsroom in New York.
The Monitor edition of News of the World.
Debnam views the news. And now, here is Mr. Debnam.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Yours truly, Sam Beard,
and Jim Reed,
and Carl Gert.
Thank you, Sam, and greetings to all of our listeners.
This is Harriet Presley, WPTF in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Wayne Edda is standing by now with a check of the latest news.
WPTF News presents Regional Report, a digest of late happenings throughout the area.
This is Bill Ellis.
This is Jimmy Capps. With a nocturne, we send as our best.
This is Bill Hope.
This is Warren Barfield with Kingham Scott at the organ and a program of familiar carols.
Good morning, this is Phil Franklin.
And this is J.C. Knowles with the North Carolina Collection on WPTF.
I'm Mike Blackman, WPTF News.
Good evening, I'm David Sherrill.
This is Robert Hager, WPTF News.
This is Bob Farrington.
Good morning, everybody. Charlie Gaddy here with Ask Your Neighbor.
Mario Dell here.
Fess Parker, our guest this morning here at News Talk 680.
Well, Jack Boston, that was a great introduction.
Everyone, great to have you with us. This is North Carolina's Morning News. I'm Brian Freeman on WPTF.
Hello, I'm your friend Bart Rittner.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to the Bob Butler Show. And this is Ned Champion reporting.
And here is Carl Venters.
WPTF is the voice that shares with its neighbors what it's like to be living the life of Raw.
This is Charles Osgood wishing Mike Raley and Ann Clapp congratulations on the anniversary of WPTF's Weekend Gardener program.
This is Donna Mason on 680 WPTF.
And I'm Dick Stork in the WPTF. WPTF Record Vault. Good morning to you.
Tom Kearney here.
Johnny Hood on the Southern Farm Network.
Well, howdy, everybody. I'm Hap Hansen.
I'm Marlon Bowling reporting.
I'm Ann Clapp.
And this is a Tar Heel Gardener saying, keep them growing.
We're back on WPTF at 10:10. We've kind of zipped right through, boys.
Time
this
flies.
Morning, haven't yep. we? Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty fun today.
Absolutely.
I think we talked about a lot of different things, and I had Craig LaHoulier on. He and Gerald, we got them both here. They know their tomatoes, and I don't know if Gerald's supposed to be on the 22nd. I think he's wrapped up out at the farmer's market now.
Yeah, this will be a busy time of year for him, I would think.
Yeah, he's been out there selling since late March his plants. Maybe the first week in April.
But and does he sell the grafted tomatoes? Do you know?
He sells everything.
If it's got the word tomato to it.
Yeah, I mean, he's got greenhouses, and he's retired now from the state.
Okay.
And so he's doing other things. He's got a lot of projects.
Now, what is the benefit of a grafted one?
It's disease resistance. So you can, as I mentioned earlier, tomatoes, as you well know, are so susceptible to so many root borne diseases, soil-borne diseases.
So you're thinking about the root.
Yeah, and so especially if you're trying to grow an heirloom cultivar like German Johnson, which has so much flavor, you can graft that onto a modern hybrid cultivar and get that root system that has the disease resistance.
Even nematodes?
Yeah, even nematode resistance. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Huh.
So now just remember that resistance is not immunity.
No.
You still have to do all the things that Craig tells you to do to grow good tomatoes.
And don't buy a hay bale, buy a straw bale.
And they're expensive. The grafted tomatoes are expensive with good reason, because it's a very labor intensive process.
So you've never had one? You've never tried
never
to grow
grown one? No.
Yeah.
Not that I know of.
Yeah. But if you want that that old, you know, heirloom cultivar that were grown, you know, 50 years ago, that have so much flavor but no disease resistance, then the grafted is a good way to go.
Well, right now everybody's tomatoes are looking very, very nice and pretty. Yeah. It's about the time that the bad stuff starts, and I dread for it to come. But I don't have a thing. I pull off some yellow ones, yellow leaves on the bottom, as Craig mm-hmm. said.
Yeah.
But that just seemed to be a natural occurrence.
Mm-hmm.
The top of one wilted that I told you was because mm-hmm. It was in a too small a pot, and I watered it yesterday. And I've got it's not heirloom, but Park's Whopper.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't grown one of those since my mama did years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that sucker is a good 6 feet.
Mm-hmm.
I've got rebar.
As your stakes?
Rebar. Yeah.
Boy, don't
stakes.
Stump your toe out there, Rufus. Yeah. Don't run into that.
It's just loaded with golf-sized tomatoes on it now, and I'm just hoping for it.
One of the things Craig has recommended is in which makes good sense, and Charlotte Glenn, the statewide Master Gardener coordinator, as well has recommended, is don't put all your eggs in one basket. Don't plant just one cultivar.
Tony Avon has said that too.
Yeah, plant you know, maybe four different cultivars, and you know, make one of those a cherry, you know, like a Sun Gold or something like that.
Right.
Because
right.
those are pretty reliable.
They are. Anybody can grow those.
Yeah. And then, you know, if you want the heirloom, you know, plant a couple of those, and then plant a couple of the modern cultivar, you know, modern hybrid cultivars. And, you know, the thing you got to remember about the modern cultivars is people think, oh, but, you know, I'm missing that old-timey flavor or whatever. But you have to recognize that plant breeders have been working on improving the cultivars for decades. And yes, they are selecting for disease resistance, but they are also selecting for flavor.
Of course.
And so over time, you're getting improvement. And that's why, you know, the bicolor corn that's coming in at the farmer's market, you know, people say, oh, I want to wait for the Silver Queen or whatever. But, you know, with corn is a great example where the modern cultivars, you do a blind taste test, and they will beat out the Silver Queen. They're sweeter, and of course, they're easier to grow. They probably give better yields. And so
many new varieties.
Don't write off those modern cultivars.
Absolutely not. And you don't need to put butter on corn. You're eating what I call mule corn.
Yeah, well, you don't have to put butter on it, but I do. I want it dripping down my chin. You're not like Nelson on mayonnaise on the butter deal.
No, right? I just I could eat healthier, but I try where I can to not, you know, get extra calories.
Yeah, well, you're.
Yeah.
Yes, you're fit for about 10 things wrong with you, but other than that, you're healthy and fit.
Yeah. Well, the older you get, it doesn't matter. But you're falling apart, so you just do the best you can.
Well, you know the old thing about, they said to my grandmother about chewing tobacco. She said, I'm 92, and I'll chew and dip if I want to.
Well, you got to have some pleasures.
And I just kept thinking, you've done pretty well to be 92 and chip and do.
Well, you know, there's luck, heredity, you know, there's genes. A lot of different variables.
People get on me all the time about my cigars, but I sat out there last night after watching something called State Lines, which is on public radio. It talks about North Carolina politics.
Television.
Yeah. And
you can see it because you've been on it.
And smoked a cigar sitting out there in the yard and saw lightning bugs. And what a pleasure that was.
You don't have a TV in your garage there, do you?
Yes, I do. I definitely do.
You've never taken me into your garage.
Well, I don't want you to see a disaster area.
Well, I think it sounds like a fascinating place.
I've got an old cabbage setting. I've got all kinds of old farm equipment that I saved from when I grew up on the farm.
Well, that's where Linda has exiled you to.
Well, yeah, for the smoking deal.
Yeah.
And that's where Jasper and I used to go to have a smoke.
But you got a TV out there and old farm equipment.
Yeah.
How about that?
Well, I had the great privilege of seeing your garden a couple of
weeks
ago.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You enjoyed that, huh?
Oh, that was delightful.
Isn't it nice out there?
And you seem to be a firm believer in the drifts of one philosophy that Tony Avent has followed and espoused, which, you know, one of each different kind of plant.
And he's got a black snake.
Yeah, well, one of the little tots there ran up.
That's right. The black snake wanted in on the party.
See that snake?
Yeah.
I said, no, I'm glad you did.
But you've got great variety in your incredible variety in your garden, and that's something that everybody should think about, is having diversity in your garden.
Yeah, definitely.
Planting all kinds of different things, for having things that bloom at different times of year. You know, even a hedgerow, if you can add some diversity and maybe alternate plants, or, you know, use three plants in a hedgerow, you know, you're spreading your risk. You're increasing the durability of that planting.
Now, Rufus has what I would call a colonial garden, which I love, you know, the George Washington, Thomas Jefferson type thing. But you also have something kind of like Williamsburg. You have a kind of a formal garden too there, and roses.
Yeah,
for instance.
And everybody sort of knockouts now because they're so passe. But they don't get as many diseases. I use Bayer 3-in-1. I've not had any Rosetta disease.
Yeah,
I never have anything
messing
with them.
I think they, you know, that all started, I think, with a bad supplier from way down south, is what I was told. And maybe we've gotten rid of all of that, and we're breeding better roses, or shrub roses. But there are a lot of different shrub roses available.
Mm-hmm.
Then you don't have to worry as much. We do not hear about Rose Rosette much on this show anymore. I think we had a call last week.
I think it's still out there, but it doesn't mean that you shouldn't plant roses.
And it's caused by a mite. Is that correct?
It's a viral disease that's spread by a mite. Yeah, a microscopic mite.
So. But that tequila sunrise that we have, Rufus, that's so pretty, is an extraordinary cultivar.
Yeah.
And it's a shrub rose.
I've had no health rose health problems.
No, nothing.
And by the way, did you notice what was your take on this so-called, I'm not going to say so-called because
did he see the Vietnamese thing?
The Vietnamese evergreen maple.
Whatever it was.
Now he's not convinced either.
It was strikingly beautiful. I just... If I'm trying to settle an argument between Nelsa Cox and Mark Wethington,
I'm not getting in the middle of that.
I am unqualified.
I know I'm unqualified.
Whatever it is, it's strikingly beautiful. Green stems. It doesn't look anything like, if it is a Vietnamese maple, as Mark Wethington said. Is that what he said it was?
Yes.
Yeah. Vietnamese.
Because it came from
evergreen
came from there, didn't it?
Evergreen.
And you notice it has a bamboo-like stalk.
Yes.
Nelson's mother a year ago said, well, that's bamboo. Well, it was a good guess.
Right.
And the reason that I started off on this thing was that one time there was this lady at the farmer's market, and she wasn't a learned plant person, but she said, this is an evergreen Vietnam maple. I thought, oh, yeah, I believe you. I took it and stuck it out. And Mark showed me one the other day, much more mature than mine. Mine is not over 7 or 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And it was amazing. It was then had little florets on it. I just don't know. And I can see why you would not try to make a decision based on the knowledge of this country's most knowledgeable plant people, Nelsa Cox and Mark Wethington, But I'm going to stick with what that old lady told me.
They do have maple forests in Vietnam.
Yeah.
Well, is there no kind of thing under the internet called Evergreen Vietnam?
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, I was going to look on the NC State Extension plant toolbox to see. It's probably on there if it's something that grows.
Now, you're mentioning one thing that I do break the rule on. If you noticed, my osmanthus, I did plant a hedgerow of them.
Osmanthus, yeah.
They seem to be
sweet osmanthus.
They just seem to be something that desires to have a.
That's a tough plant.
They're reliable.
That's a tough plant.
And they give back year after year, several times a year, with those tiny little flowers that produce such a great fragrance.
But a good example of how the worst thing is of those horrible, horrible things I just had to spend a fortune on to get them taken down. That we went through about 30 years ago of rows and rows of that sorry no account. What was it? It's so bad I didn't even want to think about it. The greenery that grew 12 feet a year and everybody was putting them out as hard as they could. And
Leyland cypress.
Leyland cypress, yeah. That's a good example of doing something like you said. Planting a whole row of those, and I had five at one time this year that went down at one time. One hit the other, down they all went. But we go through spells like that. Yeah. People went through spells.
Well, I think I told you, in somewhere in the Balkans, in Croatia or Montenegro or maybe in all three countries, Slovenia, I saw red-tipped Fitinias.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They didn't have any spots.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've got a couple left that don't have anything on them, but...
But it's very dry. That's a very arid. I mean, it's kind of like northern Israel. It's green, but you know it's rocky and sandy, and you know even Monaco, and parts of Italy and France are very very arid and dry, and you know they don't have a lot of lush green. They have to import things.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of plant diversity and plants from around the world, this is a fabulous time of year, although any time of year is fabulous, to go visit the J.C. Rostam Arboretum, Sarah P. Duke Gardens, the North Carolina Botanical Gardens.
Oh, yeah.
Go see those places. Get ideas for your own landscape. Get ideas for plants to put into your own landscapes, things that are unusual, unique. You know, diversity adds so much resilience to our landscapes. If we can, you know, have all kinds of different plants, you know, instead of relying on the same 10 that all your neighbors have planted.
Michael, you were mentioning that part of the world. I took a trip to Israel in 1980 with the National Association of Attorneys General. About 10 of us went there and planted a tree on the Golan Heights. I've often wondered, is that tree still growing?
I know where you're talking about. It's not far from the Sea of Galilee, the Golan Heights. I mean, it's not a big country, but that was the first place we stayed. We stayed in a hotel on the Sea of Galilee, and you could hear what I assume were Israeli jets flying over.
Well, there was some bombing on the Golan Heights.
Yeah, I mean the Golan Heights
away from there.
Separates you know Syria. You can look out to Syria, and that's been a much warred over, contentious.
We went to the peaceful side of the Golan Heights to plant our trees.
Right. I mean, there's a lot of security up there, but you know, it's very now. I tripped. We were out hiking, kind of. Looking at, I guess it was the Golan Heights area, and I tripped, and I fell into, it was like a briar patch.
Ooh.
But they were teeny, teeny, tiny little stickers. And I didn't get rid of those things for weeks.
Oh.
I mean, I was picking them out, and it was very painful. And we had a physician with us on the trip from church, and he got a few out.
Must have little barbs on them.
I don't know. I'd have tried to figure out what plant that was, but I'll tell you, it was no fun. You could use that as a weapon.
Sounds what we used to call on the farm a bull nettle.
Yeah.
And but I have those in my garden right now.
Even in the southern part of Israel, there's some greenery. Even as you get close to, you know, but it's such a small cup. But, you know, you go toward the Dead Sea, toward Jordan, and it's very desert-like. But not like the deserts of Egypt, for instance.
Yeah.
But at any rate, 919-860-9783. Say goodbye to the frustration of battling unwanted visitors in your garden with Imos Garden Natural Animal Repellents. Whether deer and rabbits are munching on your flowers, or squirrels digging in the beds, and moles and voles tunneling through your lawn, or snakes slithering too close for comfort, Imos Garden has you covered. That's not going to hurt them. It's just going to tell them to go away. Our specifically formulated, when I say our, it's Marilyn's formula. She came up, brilliant person, obviously, great businesswoman, came up with this formulation of repellents crafted from botanical oils and natural ingredients. I mentioned before in a storage building, my house, I've had some Imos Garden, large bags of it in there. It makes a storage building smell better. You know? creating highly effective repellents with all this ingredient. And there are no harsh chemicals, just pure, reliable protection. You don't have to worry about the kids or the pets or beneficial wildlife. It's just going to repel. So when you protect your garden with Imos Garden Repellents, you can say hello to a garden that flourishes in harmony with nature. Imos Garden Repellents are made right here in the Triangle, and you can buy Imos Garden Repellents at local garden centers and hardware stores all around the listening area and beyond. You'll find it at Fairview Garden Center in Raleigh, Hudson's Hardware in Garner and Clayton. And protect your garden with Imos Garden Repellents. People, pet, and eco-friendly. Imos Garden, your ultimate defense against garden pests. Melissa got some ant repellent the other day. There were some ants down at our family cottage. So it's just safe, but it repels them.
You know, I pondered the question on the show last week.
We got about 30 seconds.
About figs. Could you do a Imos Garden spray to keep the birds and the squirrels and the hornets away from it? Nobody's answered it yet.
Probably.
Well, certainly not going to hurt you if you eat it.
Yeah, just read the label. I mean, you do have to be careful with edible crops. I'm sure it would be mentioned on the label.
Right, it's not going to poison you. It's going to make it taste.
Your belly up.
Yeah, I mean, you just wash it off. You got to wash stuff off, man. Got to be clean. I like being clean. We'll be back. We're back, 10:36, as we zip along. We had Craig LaHoulier on this morning, and that was always entertaining and fascinating and a real learning experience. He's a gardener and an author and educator, and he has a doctorate in chemistry, so he's really smart. And he became interested in tomatoes. And by golly, he knows tomatoes. He and Gerald are the most learned people I know. There is probably somebody at NC State that you know of, in the ag department, who is an expert.
I think there's a Dr. Inga Meadows at the Mountain Horticulture Research Station, but she specializes in the disease portion of things.
Right, and which is very important.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, having somebody that has that broad spectrum of knowledge, you know, understanding not only the cultivation, but the disease and the insects, and based on so many decades of experience. The other thing that's great about Craig is that he's so generous. I mean, it sounds like, you know, you can shoot him an email with your question and, you know, he'll take the time to respond, and doing those things on Instagram, the Friday afternoon video tours and lessons. You know, it sounds like he doesn't have to do that to generate income. So it sounds like it's a passion and and just generosity.
He used to lecture when he was even when he was here, and with this book, I think that's what started it. He lectured all over the country. I mean, he was in great demand all over the country, and he's cut that out, and because of technology, Zooms and all of that, Zoom calls. He's he doesn't travel like that anymore. But Growing Vegetables in Straw Bales is one of his books, and Epic Tomatoes is the other. I had a copy. I think I gave it to somebody, the Growing Vegetables in Straw Bales, after I looked through it. But have I given you a copy of Epic Tomatoes? I may have given it to you for extension service.
It resides in our library at the cooperative.
Well, I may have another. I'll see if I can find another copy for and give you.
Or I should buy one.
No, I'll give you one. I mean, nobody's paid to be on this show, so why not just let me give you gifts?
Have you heard of a book called The Drunken Gardener? I ran across that this morning. I was going through my books yesterday.
The Drunken Gardener?
It's called The Drunken Gardener.
And I gave that book to you.
Yes.
Don't throw it away.
I
thought it was unique.
I was going through them yesterday about in my garden section and just wondered if you had...
I didn't write it.
Well, I did. I got it. I don't know where I found it. I don't know if I got it online or what. But
it's a cute book.
It just reminds you that Fridays are school nights before the show.
It's not all about whiskey, but it gives recipes and a lot of plants that have alcohol in them. If you mix something with it, but it's called The Drunken Gardener.
Okay.
That's a pass-along book if I've ever heard one. Well, there's another one. The guy that writes for Southern Living, The Grumpy Gardener.
Mm.
Now, he has a good book, too. Do you have that?
No, I don't have The Grumpy Gardener.
I'll have to.
Well, if you're going to get one gardening book, it should be the North Carolina Extension Gardener Handbook.
Yeah, that's a textbook.
That is the manual for gardening in all of North Carolina, and we are talking fruits, vegetables, trees, shrubs, flowers, lawns, insects, disease, weeds, native plants, bulbs, everything. It is completely comprehensive.
Well, soils. I'm the happy owner of that book.
North Carolina.
A few years ago, Joe the Bouncer presented me that book.
North Carolina Extension Gardener Handbook. Yeah. It was a collaborative effort.
And there's a second edition now. You can get the second edition. Yeah, it's not cheap, but books aren't cheap.
Well, it's a great value.
Oh, it's a wonderful value.
And you can find it on Amazon. You can order it directly from UNC Press, which is the publisher. Collaborative effort of Lucy Bradley, a phenomenal woman at NC State. Dr. Lucy Bradley in the Horticulture Department, and also Dr. Charlotte Glenn in the Horticulture Department, and many, many others, including...
She used to be in Chatham County, didn't she?
Yeah. Charlotte was, and as an extension agent. And
she's
also
in charge
of
the Master Gardener Program, which Irv Evans was at one time.
Right.
It basically started the Master Gardener Program, I think.
I believe so.
Yeah. You know, what a brilliant guy he is.
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
He's a crazy NC State fan, though. I'll tell you, I went to a couple of basketball games with him 40 years ago, and I'll tell you, he roots for the home team.
Okay.
All right.
I mean, you got to wrap some rope around him and to keep him from lunging toward the court.
Okay.
Yeah. So he's something. We got to have him on. We got to invite him back for Irv lost his voice, basically. That's why he left the show,
right?
You know, back in the late 80s, early 90s, I guess it was. But he was on with us for the 30th. You know, it's kind of whispers. But we need to have him on for the 40th. We don't know what we're going to do with that. I'm hoping we can do a remote, celebrate while we're on a remote somewhere. I mean, the anniversary would be in January, but you know, even if it's not in January, we'll maybe like at Phil's place.
That'd be fun. So our friends can come visit.
Yeah, so the people who listen can come, and it'd be easier to accommodate. You know, a lot of our friends who are on the show who want to come too. So hopefully we can do that. As the 40th anniversary of the Weekend Gardeners next year, the 50th and my 50th anniversary here, and 40th anniversary doing this show, and my 50th wedding anniversary all next year.
Yeah, but when is your 50th year with the station?
Next year. Next April 25th is...
Gracious goodness.
Yeah.
And substantially less significant is that next year is my 25th anniversary.
On this show.
Of being a guest on the show.
Yeah. It's hard to believe. Yeah. You were with
substantially
Durham.
Less significant.
You were with the Durham Extension Service then.
I was extension agent in Durham. Found my old calendars in the attic and found the first record of coming on the show and seeing Mike.
Thing.
Now, you're retired now. What are you going to do today? You asked me what I was going to do. I'm on vacation next week.
I think I'm going to go to the camera shop.
They do have camera shops here.
There's a great one.
Peace Street camera is not on Peace Street anymore. You know, a lot of big buildings on Peace Street, but they are still in Raleigh. They're a real old one. And who else were you going to?
Southeastern.
They've been here forever, too.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're a photographer too, yeah.
I am a mediocre amateur photographer.
Well, I've taken, this phone I have is just an amazing
phone's
piece
incredible
of equipment.
What you can do,
but I want to. I enjoy it, and I take a lot of photos when I'm overseas, particularly. Yeah. And I think I'm going to invest in a camera, a good camera.
And gardens are great things to photograph, to state the obvious, and you know, get yourself a good macro lens, or use the macro setting on your phone, or a lot of phones it's automatic, and get beautiful close-ups of flowers and insects. And
the only problem with the phone cameras is you can't get the long shots, the telescopic.
The zoom, yeah.
You need zoom, yeah. They zoom out a little bit, but. Yeah.
Well, if you're trying to take a picture, and here's a great tip. If you're trying, if you want to send a picture of something to your extension agent or to Mike or some other gardening expert, and you're using your phone, zoom with your feet. In other words, move yourself closer to the subject.
Because you have better resolution.
Yeah. Don't try to, if you're taking a picture with your phone, don't try to pinch to zoom because you're losing resolution.
Yeah.
And when you're looking at that photo, like the pictures of the thrips on the gardenia.
That's right.
Let us do the zooming in. Get as much resolution as you can by getting as close to the subject.
Like I did on that one.
Yeah. And with most modern smartphones, you can get up to, a couple of inches away from the insect or the flower or the weed. And that's where you can really see the detail. And also can be a very beautiful picture, depending on what you're photographing. But zoom with your feet.
Very good.
I'd say that three-fourths of the pictures I've got are my flowers or somebody else's flowers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But there's a lot your extension agent or your master gardener can do to help you diagnose, or your nursery, or your garden center can do to help you diagnose an issue if you bring in some good pictures. But if you bring in something blurry, or low resolution, it's going to be a whole lot tougher.
919-860-9783, 919-860-WPTF. You're listening to The Weekend Gardener. All of the pollen that we were able to see from the pine trees that all of you car, and that's the problem we think more about, but there's also the pollen that we can't see that gets in your nose and affects you. But there's so many things during the summertime that you have to worry about with cars. That's the time of year that really kills your battery. Now, it may not start in the winter, but it's not the cold weather. It's the hot weather that will kill a battery. So you need to get the battery. I mean, the technology is advanced, and you're able to there folks like King's Auto Service can figure out how close a battery is. I mean, basically 3 years is, unless you're extra lucky, that's all it's going to last anyway. But, you know, take it to King's Auto Service. Let them check the car over. Let them make sure, maybe even something like the wiper blades. They can tell you exactly if you need to replace those. The cabin air filters, we mentioned the pollen. And the air filter in the engine, all of that needs to be replaced. Check on the air conditioning system, because today's wonderful, but it's going to get hot. You know it is. And extremely hot. So don't hesitate to do that. There's so many things. Preventative maintenance is so important with a vehicle, because you can prevent a lot of problems that way. And if you have a hybrid vehicle, many people do now, instead of the electric, they're moving more toward the hybrid right now. They have certified hybrid technicians at King's that can diagnose the problems that you may have, which are usually few and far between, but there's a pretty big battery in there, very high voltage battery. And at some point, you need to replace that. That can be quite expensive. The average lifespan for one of these big batteries in a hybrid vehicle is about 150,000 miles. It could last a whole lot longer than that. So call King's on Monday. Schedule a courtesy battery analysis along with anything else for your car. And they work on most types of cars, so the Japanese and American. King's Auto Service, easy to find at 1039 Northwest Street in downtown Raleigh, and at kingautomotive.com. That's West Street. It's the northern part of West Street, but it's Northwest Street in downtown Raleigh. KingAutomotive.net. King's Automotive Service, Raleigh's most reliable auto care since 1946. More, not a whole lot more, but more of the Weekend Gardener straight ahead.
Goes up,
but all right.
Not the last steps.
We're talking about William, the air traffic controller. He's on the line from Beaufort. Hey, William. We haven't heard from you. I've been following you on Facebook. You've been going all over the place. You all right?
Yeah. I mean, every time I think about calling, it's all past 11 o'clock.
Yeah. Well, you aren't getting up late, are you?
I'm getting up later, yeah.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, I hear that. Everybody gets up later when they retire. But you aren't really retired. I mean, I know you're still doing a little air traffic controlling, aren't you?
Yeah.
I mean, y'all are so valuable.
Yeah, still at the Newport Airport. And, not as busy as Raleigh, but it keeps us hopping. We got a new service to Orlando.
Wow. So how big a jet will fly into Newport?
The E-145s and the regional jets we get in here, and the threes just start coming in with the A-222, is a brand-new Airbus.
Oh, wow.
They'll seat about 120 people.
Yeah, that's a good airport.
Yeah.
That and the Greenville one down there in Wilmington.
Yeah.
Or the three.
Area.
Yeah, how about that? Well, I'm glad you were able to do that. That is quite a skill and a rare skill, and it's, As you know, much more than I, there aren't that many who are still in the business, and our airports need those. And we
heard a national report, William, about the dire need.
Yeah, more and more are near misses because of that.
They're 8,000 controllers short still, so it's a good career if your young folks out there wanting to. They have the openings in spring and fall to apply for it.
Yeah, it's fascinating. We were just talking about off the air. You were so nice to take us on a tour of the tower when you were working out there, and it's fascinating.
Well, you come down the Newber, and we'll take a tour of this tower, and we'll take you out to Persimmons, eat on the water down there on the Neuse.
Oh, that'd be fun. That'd be a lot of fun.
Well, I bet you don't have an elevator on that. On your tower down there, though, do you, William?
No, it doesn't have an elevator on this one, but it's only like three flights up. So it's not.
You don't have to. It's not a ladder outside, is it?
No, we have an escape ladder outside for emergency.
Oh, how fast! Have you practiced to see how fast you can get down it?
Yeah. I think the tower was built like in 1960, so it shows its age.
Well, tell them they need to fix that. They need a better tower for William the air traffic controller.
Oh yeah, I was going to tell you. I saw you were in Greece. We're heading to Greece in October.
Yeah, we were there. Part of the time, we spent most of the time a little farther north in the Balkans, Slovenia and Croatia. That is a beautiful country. Greece, I like Corfu, Greece. That was beautiful. It was a little more. Athens was not that great. I loved seeing some of the, the Parthenon, all of that in the museum. Right. But I enjoyed Olympia. That was really fascinating to see where the Olympics and those and the structures that are still left from the first Olympics and Santorini was pretty. It was a little hard to get up there because it's you used to do
the
it by
time.
I mean they got a like a ski lift to get up there and there's so many tourists everywhere. It takes a long time to get up there.
Imagine.
Yeah,
so we're going in October. Like I didn't have enough to do, I started my own travel business. So we're going in October to Italy and Greece and Turkey.
Oh, I haven't been to Turkey, but I'd like. There's a lot of history there, and I think the terrain is very similar. That's across the Aegean, Turkey.
Right.
But we made it into the Aegean a little bit by going in some of those islands. Well, to Santorini, which is very, once you get up there, it's very upscale. And as I mentioned, when I got back, I'd love to have the white paint concession because just about everything is painted white. Right there on that cliff. Everything but the cliffs. We had a good time. I think we're going to take another trip next year somewhere, maybe to Norway.
That's on my bucket list.
I've been to Denmark because my brother-in-law is from there, and he and my sister-in-law lived over there for a while.
Right.
But it's a beautiful part. It'd be cool. Maybe go in August or something.
August. Or if you want to see the Northern Lights around January, February.
Well, that'd be nice. Yeah, I'd like to do that. Go to Iceland. There are a couple of places I'd like to go to. I'd like to see that that volcano unloading.
Well, it's only a 5-hour flight now from Raleigh.
I know it's fast. I got to tell you, I just don't enjoy plane rides for a lot of reasons, and the shorter the better.
Yeah.
One thing I get tired of.
I'll talk to you off the air. I'll send you some stuff on those, Mike.
All right, buddy. Well,
all right.
Everything okay with your yard in Beaufort?
Oh, I could tell you a story there. I'm in a turf war. I had to stitch it out yesterday. I got mole crickets or nematodes, but it's just dying.
Probably mole crickets. What type? But you have zoysia, don't you? You have zoysia.
Zoysia. So, I mean, it's a different world down here than it is in Raleigh.
Yeah, I'll tell you. They got the insects and the disease.
And the disease, right?
Yeah, all that humidity,
insects and fungus.
You get over to Greece and the all of those places in the Balkan, and it's so dry, it's arid. I mean, you just stay. I was dehydrated when I got back.
Dehydrate, right?
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Well, y'all have a good day today, and I'll try to catch you next weekend. I've been listening on the radio.
All right, William, we're going to count on you. You're our Beaufort reporter.
All right, I'm at the farmer's market now, so I'm going to go see what kind of seafood they got in here.
Oh, so you're at our farmer's market?
No, Beaufort's farmer's market.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. I thought you were going to the seafood restaurant.
Downtown's farmer's market.
Yeah, well, that's a nice one, too. That's down there in front of the courthouse?
Yeah, right in front of the courthouse. Yep.
Yeah. All right. Yep. Well, you have a wonderful day, my friend. Call us again.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Paul, thank you for joining us. It's always a treat to have you, as it has been for the last 24 years.
Oh, it's been a pleasure.
That you've been a guest. And, it's it says something that it speaks to the show, that we've been able to keep the former attorney general on for 15, 16 years. And
it's a joy.
It
is. It's
a lot of fun.
It really is.
Yeah. It always helps me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Jason, thank you very much. We'll be back in the studio next week, and then we'll head out the next week to J.E. Wumble. But next week we'll be in here. So have a great week, everybody. I'm on vacation. Bye-bye.